welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Cool. And personally, I'm not totally a traditionist, but Wednesday is traditionally keynote. So we'll have a bit of a keynote. But most of you have got all the answers anyway. If you've been reading through the Bible plan, then since Sunday you'd have looked at three chapters. And we're just going to kind of look at that for a minute. But I was kind of just thinking and praying about this over the weekend. God really spoke to me about one particular verse of Scripture, and we're going to kind of aim to land it there, and then we're going to pray. Is that okay?
Sounds good.
Pete, you are a darling. And we have Captain America on the front, so we've got even got superheroes in the room. So, question, kind of to set this, and for those listening afterwards, is a question you can ask wherever you're listening to this, is how can we stop God working? Because I just going through these chapters in Mark 4, 5, and 6, there are ways in which you and I can stop God working. You are recording this, aren't we? Excellent. In Mark 4 and 5... we're really reminded, and if we've kind of looked at that, and I guess we have. How many of you have been looking at kind of the Bible plan? Okay. Is that the power to see God work is actually in the seed, not the ground. And there is something that God has put intrinsically within the nature of seed, which will result in God's power. How many of you have received that seed? It's called the seed of salvation or the seed of life or new birth. So we're Christians, right, in the room? So we've all received this seed, and within that seed is the power to do what God wants to do. That is amazing. That's incredible. We were reminded the other day, I can't remember where it was, I've been to so many meetings, it's like all coming at one, is mustard seed is big enough, if it's full of God's power, to change the ground. So I thank God that even today, if I don't feel as if I've got a jar full of mustard seed, I've only got one, I have enough to change something. And so do you. You might have come in full of the joys of July. You might have come in full of the worries of July. But if you have the seed, you have power potential. Just turn to the person next to you and say, you have power potential. But there are some things that we can do or not do that delay this power potential. One of the things which personally I carried as a burden, part of my a leadership burden, I suppose, the more kind of responsibility you seem to get, the bigger the burden this is for me, is I hate people leaving with potential. It worries me. I'd much sooner be used by God to release that potential into effectiveness. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't want loads of people around me that just have great potential. Yeah, one day they'll be great. And today you can be great. One day God will use them. Today God will use them. One day they'll see a miracle. Today's the day. People need a miracle today. They've already been waiting for it for days. They're waiting for someone that knows God wants to use them and can. Do you know what I mean? This should be encouraging. By the time we're done, most of you will have a smiley face. If you're not used to it, that could be your first breakthrough. Hallelujah. Is it you smile? If not, I've got loads of sellotape here. We can make you smile a bit here and then behind the ears. It's awesome. Sorry, Andrea. Andrea's heard most of these before. In Mark 4 and 5, we find that this power is in the seed. This power is in the lamp. Let the lamp shine. There's just something about your life. And if you know Jesus, and this is not just for you, see, Victoria even knows. Is if you know Jesus, there is something dwelling within you which is brighter than any dark room that you'll go in. Amen. It may to you be just like a smoldering wick that one good cough and it's going to go out, but the power of this lamp is that you can't extinguish it because the source is God. I read many, many years ago that in the book of Acts, and we kind of looked at the book of Acts a few months ago in our Bible reading, but God has loads of oil. He's just looking for some wicks to burn. There's nothing wrong with the resourcing of God to keep us alive and bright and shining. Even if it seems like we're going through a dark place, a hard place, or a barren place, the light of the presence of Jesus will always make a way for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm just reminded, and maybe you were as well, as I was looking at Mark 4 and 5, there is power in the seed, there's power in the lamp, but also there's another interesting thing around the whole journey when Jesus said to them, let's go over the other side, and we know the story, is that Jesus made a decision, he was very intentional, he said, we're going to go over there. He didn't say what he was going to do over there, he just said, we're going to go over there. And all the disciples, being like you and me, we just want to do what Jesus tells us. They hopped in the boat, went halfway across, and suddenly a storm came from nowhere. This message isn't so much about the storm and why Jesus was with them, but he was asleep. But sometimes when one of the things that we can get in the way of God is that you weren't designed to travel by boat, but to walk on water. That's one of our challenges, is we like the feel of the boat, we like the sound of the water on the outside, but we're safe on the inside. But actually, you and I were designed to walk on the water, not be in the boat. And sometimes on our journeys, one of the things that can restrict or hinder the power of God is that we want a boat crossing, Jesus wants us to walk across sometimes. And it's scary. You know what I'm talking about? Is God sometimes deliberately doesn't provide everything that we can feel, touch, or imagine. He just says, trust me, because we're going. Where are you going? Is that sometimes... Sorry. Sometimes... You're going to get some clothes on? Okay. Sometimes... When Jesus says, we're going to do this, or we're going to be this, or we're going to go this, we want to feel the change rather than just believe that his word is the change. Because it's interesting, because even though it would appear that, you know, however you want to translate this, but it appeared as if there was an opposing force. A storm was saying, I don't want you to go. He went. He set a man free who then traveled around 10 cities and spoke about the good news of Jesus. Can I just suggest to you that when we just take Jesus literally for every word and move under the grace with that word, you might have your personal challenge, but the other side, you'll affect 10 times more than you were before.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no believers in the room at all. Is that sometimes we get so consumed by the challenge, we forget what's on the other side? The power that you and I have in the Holy Spirit is not just for challenge, it's for the other side. At the other side is people's freedom. At the other side, as we look at in a moment, are the miracles that people need that you have. So I was reminded of all of this through Mark 4. Again, probably God spoke to you if you've been following it as well. But sometimes when God says that, and this is certainly true for me, maybe true for you as well, is that all of the evidence, all of the circumstances tell me the opposite of that. You know what I'm talking about? Has anybody got that? If you haven't got that, then maybe we should swap. Because I found that this is typical. Is God can say, go over there, but immediately evidence says, don't go over there. It's not going to work. It's a waste of time. There's nothing there. Circumstantial evidence can sometimes fly in the opposite direction, but I've learnt to use that as a sign that I'm going in the right way, not as a reason not to go there. Because you and I were made to walk on the water, not sit in a boat. Boat represents safety, the known, the comfortable. That's fine, but you only need power of the pillow there. You get out the boat and you need the power of trust. You need the power of support. You need the power of security. You need the power that is beyond your natural inclination to think, I'm going to drown. And Jesus doesn't allow people to drown. In my experience, is those that are drowning, he reaches down and lifts them up. Because we were made to walk on water, not float in a boat. Hallelujah. But it's scary.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing between you and the physical water other than the word of God, but that's enough. The word of God becomes our boat. The word of God becomes our ark, if you like. The word of God becomes our refuge. But then it would, because that's what Jesus said about his word.
Yeah.
Don't listen to the storm and tell God, look at the storm. Look at the storm and say, look at God. Sometimes we just get it back to front. I have a quote here which, again, God spoke to me about 3 or 4 years ago, just before we started to travel up and down year 24. I think I've got shares in that now. We had sheep on it yesterday, didn't we? It's funny. A couple of us going down a road and suddenly a couple of sheep came across the road. It's like, that could have been lunch. We missed it. There's a quote here. I'm just going to kind of spin it out there. You might resonate with it. If you don't beat what scares you, it will beat you instead. If you don't beat what scares you, if you don't face fear with the confidence that Jesus is going to get you through it, it will come and bite you in the blessed assurance one day. You and I were not made to be led by fear or famine, but by faith and trust in Jesus. If we choose the fear and famine route, the power of God isn't released. It's actually working to bring us from a place of doubt into a place of faith. But God will do that. Because God's God, right? But actually, if we can cultivate in our heart, okay, Jesus, you've said it. I'm not going to go the easy route, because the narrow way is not the easy way. The narrow way is the narrow way. But as soon as we step on that, we find it actually walking on water before you realize. As we kind of go on and read a little bit more, we find, again, you might have seen this, it's particularly more clear in Matthew to get, but in Mark, Jesus always responds to the people's faith. And it's true for you and me. For example, when one guy came up to him, he said, you know, this daughter's dying, just come and lay your hands on her. He did. With another one, she thought, if I just touch him, she did. With another one, just say the word. He did. Why? Because God wants to work with what you want to work with him for. He's not looking at the amount. He's looking at where you put the amount. He's not looking for you to have had a 40-minute prayer meeting in tongues until you feel like asking. You feel as if God is interested in giving you an answer. God is interested in your answer before you've even thought of the question. Because he says, ask and imagine. I don't know about you, but I've got a big imagination. I can imagine a lot happening today. I don't know about you, but I can imagine a lot happening today, more than we've seen on any other Wednesday. Some people come up to me and say, oh, you always big stuff up. Why not? God's big. I'm not going to small stuff up. Let's big it up. Let's reach for the sky, because at least you hit the trees. Yeah. Woo! It's called faith. Yeah. You've heard of it, right? Yeah, but faith has a sound. Faith makes God bigger. Yeah. I make God smaller. Faith makes God bigger. How many of you know God is really big? I was in a meeting last night where at the end of it, I thought, God, I know you're bigger than this. But it didn't sound like it. But God was bigger than that. So when I got home, I just reminded myself, God, you're awesome. We're outside under the open heaven. Yeah. I thought, God, even what I see can't contain you. Even the stars. And there were some stars. I could have done with you, really, to be honest. Even some stars up. I didn't see Jupiter. But I was under the open heaven. I thought, God, you're even bigger than this. Because the created is always smaller than the creator. So we're kind of looking at, you know, we've got power, it's in the seed, it's in the lamp, but what can we do? Well, what do we do? And sometimes we don't even do it on purpose, that hinders it. And we're going to get to that in a moment. But just to kind of reinforce this reality that sometimes when God says something and you do it, things can get worse. We go on in this particular story where this guy comes and says, you know, my daughter's dying. Just say dying. About 10 verses later, she's dead. She's toast. You know that? She's gone. She's somewhere. Their life has left. But the interesting thing about what Jesus does is that even when it appears though we're facing death, even if we feel dead, Jesus sees the other side of it. He came into that house and he got rid of all of the people that were moaning, groaning and complaining and causing a commotion. And sometimes he has to do that with us. Sometimes we are the people making the wrong noise. Sometimes we're just moaning, grumbling, oh, you know, God's forgotten me. How can God forget you? He made you. You're right there, Torrey. How can God forget you? He made you. You're the apple of his eye. But it's interesting how from this journey, Jesus was on his way. The girl was dying. He arrived. She's dead. Jesus wants to bring you and me to the end of our commotion, wailing and groaning. He wants it to leave the room. So the only thing left in the room is Jesus and what needs changing. And that's exactly what he did here. Everybody was left. They had the wrong noise. They had the wrong sound. That's why the Bible exhorts us. Do everything. Say everything.
Everything.
Without moaning or grumbling or complaining. Why? Because Jesus is in the room, but he can't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus wants to, but he can't. He wants to move, but he can't. He loves moving in our lives, but he can't. So sometimes he just brings us to the end of it and puts it outside. When we come to the end of that kind of noise and we just leave the room, we need to listen to the one that stayed. Jesus says, arise. That's powerful. I've lost count on a number of times that I've known Jesus where it feels like everything's dead, wasted, toast. When I reviewed the last couple of weeks, I've kind of started in a place of, yeah, Jesus, you're wonderful. And then it's like, Jesus, you were wonderful. Where are you today? And then it's, you don't even bother saying anything. And suddenly you realize you've changed from rejoicing into mourning. I don't just mean mourning, but M-O-U-R-N-O. Mourning is really close to moaning. And the first thing Jesus says is, mate, rejoice, praise me, give thanks. Let that stuff leave the room. Sometimes you might have exactly the wrong sound in the room that you're in, but it sounds as if it's real. It's not real. Jesus is real. This girl is dead. Like Lazarus was dead. He was dead 4 days. What a stink. But to Jesus, he was alive. So we can hinder the power of God working through us because we're just listening to the wrong stuff. There's the door. Shut it behind you. There's the door for doubt. There's the door for disbelief. There's the door because you've just been stupid with your life. Whatever it is. God isn't so much interested in what it is. He's more interested in us letting him deal with it. Because he wants to use you in power. He wants his life to flow through you and me. And he'll do whatever it takes to take it out. Have you got this so far? And then we just rolled on a little bit. It's interesting as well, I've just observed this, I mentioned one already, that when Jesus touches a life, it multiplies the impact of it. Already mentioned one person, man, he was getting pounded for years and years and years, all kinds of doubt, worries, fears, self-abuse, the whole lot was happening to him. Jesus touched him and he went to 10 cities. That's good multiplication. I think Jesus wants to do the same with you and me.
Yeah.
I think when we let Jesus touch us, he multiplies our potential. In Corinthians, it says this, every time we see Jesus, we look a little bit more like him and a little bit less like you and me.
Yeah.
I like that. Don't you like that? Every time we just gaze upon the presence of Jesus, we become a bit more like him and a bit less like us in a moment of time. Why? So that we do the things of Jesus. Not so we can go around saying, I've had a great time with Jesus. No, I can now do something great for Jesus, with Jesus. I think God, in my life, he doesn't want me just to have a great time with Jesus. He wants me to do some great things with Jesus. Now, you may be on a different part of the journey, and that's fine. If you're listening to this on the message, you might not even know Jesus. You give your life to Jesus, it'll change your planet. You'll be flying higher than the Jupiter orbit at the moment. Because Jesus will give you the keys of a kingdom. So Jesus comes and multiplies it. We find in going on another bit of the chapter that Jesus just called a few really strange people. People a bit like us. It didn't take long for him to send them out. Okay, it's a couple of verses in the Bible. It was probably longer than that. But the point is this. Is Jesus saw the potential in people and invested in their future before he had issues with their past. And I put it this way. When Jesus called them, he saw them 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years down the road, not the 20 years that they've been from.
And it's exactly the same for you, and it's exactly the same for me. Why? Because Jesus doesn't invest in our past, but he does invest in our now and in our tomorrow. He deals with our past. He trades it. He trades our past for his past. He trades our now for his now, and he trades our future for his future. There's a book written about it. It's called In Christ Jesus. So you've probably read it, but that's what it means. We've traded, exchanged. We've exchanged fruitfulness, which can never happen, to fruitfulness, which will always happen. That's you. That's me. This is the point of really where I want to go. And I want to encourage people, but there might be a little bit of an ouch factor in this next bit, all right? So let grace abound. We've kind of heard and we've just been reminded that Jesus responds to faith. Yeah? Kind of agree with that. Mostly I really don't agree with it. I'm really still thinking about it. That's fine. But the point is this. Faith works on perception. How you see Jesus determines how you believe in Jesus sometimes. It's true for us. Because I find Mark 6, the first few chapters of that, quite sobering. Here's Jesus in his hometown. He's lived there the longest on earth. But no miracles happened there. You know why? Because I only saw a carpenter. Nothing wrong with that. What he did. But that's not who he was. For those of you who are on the team, for those of you that are volunteers, I'm challenging something. You're not in the admin team. You're a miracle worker that works in the admin team. If you're in the catering team, you're not just there to cook meals, but to provide out of the multiplication factor of Jesus that we read about in Mark 6. If we ever, ever, and I've done this, if we ever get into a place where, well, you're just Tom. He's not. Which is why you don't receive the power that Tom has. Oh, it's just Simon. No, it's not just Simon. It's just Pete. He plays the guitar. If we don't raise our perception of one another to match the seed and to match the lamp, we will never receive what God has for us through one another. It's just not going to work. Because faith works partly based on perception. Oh, come on! Come on, smile at me. Because we're in a busy time of the year, I know that. I know we are. But Jesus did not call anybody in this room or anybody listening to be busy. He called them to be fruitful. Jesus has not put a seed in you to do a lot of stuff. He's put a seed in you to be a lot of stuff. And we just have to be careful. And I'm really getting challenged by this a lot for weeks now. Is that we're not here because of what we do. We're here because of who we are now and who we're going to be together in the future. Oh, it's all gone quiet in the room. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to roll out some few thoughts and see what happens here. Jesus said this. He said, when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the church. Brilliant. Many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these great things? I want all of us to be really amazed by what God gives to one another. Amen. I do. I want it to blow our circuitry of what we used to. I want it to blow our perception of what we can expect from one another. Because God's put amazing in the seed. Not mundane, amazing. And if we're not careful, history limits our future. There's an English thing. Familiarity breeds contempt. I'm not suggesting that we contempt one another. What I'm suggesting is, man, we need to believe in each other a bit more. Yeah. That's what I'm suggesting. Do you understand that? there's no contempt here. That's not what I mean. What I mean is, man, you've got something in your spirit. It's brilliant. It's of God, and I want it. Come out. I want it. I see there's a gift in you. There's a passion in you. I want it. It's not, it's a bit of work. You can do it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
Jesus didn't save us because of what we've done. He had to save us because of what we've done. He saved us because of who we are and who we would be. The response was, what are these miracles he's performing? I'd love it if on Monday at 12, somebody stood up and says, you'll never guess this, but I'm just in the facilities team. That's the first mistake. Nobody's just anywhere. Second mistake is I did my best. No, you didn't. Anyway, won't go there. Because there's... Okay. It's only me, but God still used me. What an amazing story that would be. Sometimes when we hear stories like that, we don't celebrate it. We don't celebrate it, usually for a couple of reasons. Jealousy or ignorance. I've never seen God do that. That's because you're not expected him to. But we haven't believed in you enough to see it either. Why not? Bible settles me this. Inside of you and me is a miracle waiting to happen. You're the carrier. You're the steward of it. You are the miracle when you have one. There's miracles happening all the time. There's miracles of provision happening. Brilliant. But we're only just touching the surface. When you guys turn up and you don't have all your catering set up and you don't have all the marquee set up, you don't have your kitchen set up and the food hasn't arrived on time, I can guarantee you this. Put your trust in Jesus, you'll still feed 200 people because Jesus has done it before. Oh, but it's only Steve. No, Steve's a man of God. He has a team full of anointing and potential and power. God can do anything through people like that. Let's not trust in the boat. Let's step out on the water a bit. Oh, we haven't got it all sorted. Actually, I don't think God gives a rip, to be honest. I was more interested in our heart and our spirit rather than what we managed to achieve. God will do more than we've achieved. Much more. What I just want to try and pull out of us is our expectation of one another. You understand that?
Yeah.
Because I've learned, Mark reminds me, how I see you determines on what I expect to get from you. If I just see you as someone that can help me with the interviews, that's all I expect. But there's more in Hannah than that. There's more in Hannah than just being able to organise that. It's like, man, she's cool, gifted, full of the Holy Spirit, grace, mercy and power. Man, I'm expecting her to tell me stories about this person got healed, that person. That's my level now. And it's the same for you. So God's challenging our perceptions. He's not giving us any more. He wants to show us what we've got. I believe we have. We sang one song like, well, we didn't. I didn't sing it. There was a song came up on the screen last night. It was I read that in my brain. It was like, don't sing it, don't sing it, don't sing it. What it says was, we don't have power. That's not true. I'm not singing that. I saw around me 100 people all agreeing with it. I thought, this is just not right. So I did the opposite. Yeah, I've got power, thank you. Probably looked a bit mad. But let me tell you, when 11 people were in the boat and one stands in the water, they looked mad, but everybody was jealous. I wish I'd... At least he stepped out. Let's make one another jealous. In the way God uses us, let's be jealous to exhort, encourage, pull the very, very last ounce of potential out of one another. Let's believe in each other and express it by how we are. Is this kind of making some sense to you? I know this is a tricky old thing, because whatever our perceptions are, they're kind of being challenged. But Jesus put it like this. Prophet is not without honour except in his own town, among his relatives and in his own home. I think there's truth there. Oh, well, they're only an intern. No, they're a man of God. They're a woman of God. We've put a label on something to identify it, but it doesn't identify them. It just identifies what they do. You know, Dave's getting a breakthrough with his health. Unless you just say, oh, Dave, he's got that issue. You've just given him an identification that Jesus never gave him one. You understand that? So I believe there are some core things. Firstly, you've got to stop moaning and complaining and let it leave the room.
Yeah.
Just let Jesus be the last one and listen to what he says. Even when it appears dead, he can say, no, it'll live. This won't die, it'll live. Secondly, we need to make a choice on how we see one another, how we see people. Some of you are going out to Worthing today. Some of, we're all going into the world today. How you see it will determine how God uses you in it. Because perception is key. Yeah, we can pray, we can speak, we can do all of that. And I do all of that. But if I look at someone and only think I'm going to get something out of them, guess what? That's all I get. I've been around here probably as long as anyone, well, apart from Granddad Gary over there. He's been here a bit longer than me. But every time I see him in the morning, I don't see the Gary that I've known for 24 years. I've decided not to. I'm going to see a new one. There's more anointing, more grace on his life. There's more power working through his life. Do you understand that? But it's a choice. The villages that we live in, the towns that we live in, we've all got a view on them. Maybe it's not the right one. Our neighbours, you might think they're just noisy. Maybe they think you're not noisy enough. I have no idea. All I know is that our perception has got to match God's word.
Yeah.
How we see has got to begin to match how God sees. You know, I was at a meeting on Sunday evening. This is really where God really pinpointed this on me. And I saw somebody that was there, and my immediate thought was, that person's just a problem. God said, to who? Stupid question, right? Sometimes God asks questions, you already know the answer, but you don't want to say it. To me. He said, then you've got to be the solution, not the problem. And immediately, it's like, okay. So I didn't receive problems from that person. I heard problems, but all the time it was, this can happen. That can change. That can be different. So how do we see the people that God's put around us already? Office workers or miracle workers? Catering team or facility provision team? Finance team or wonder working team? Facilities team or men of great faith? We were designed to travel on solid water, not on a solid boat. Let's all stand up, shall we? Because we're going to do something in a minute. We have done this before, but not for a while. It's kind of fun. Please don't do this in some kind of sloppy, I'll have to do it because he's told me to do it way. If that's what you feel, don't do it. Let people just come and speak to you. Well, I want you to find half a dozen people and just tell them how great they are in God. Don't flatter them. Don't just say how great you are. How great you are in God. I see this gift in you. I recognize this ability in you. It's from the Lord. I see this in your life. Let's give God some acknowledgement for how he's using us, because that's how we change perception. That's how we can get moans and groans. Actually, I don't like that person. We need to get your heart right then, my friend. We weren't meant to like each other first. We're meant to love each other first, and you like him as well. We can all say, oh, God loves me. Yeah, but does he like me? Yes. So nobody's going to be looking. Nobody's going to be saying, oh, yeah, it's about time they sorted it out. If we're aware of that, there's probably a reason for it. It's because something needs sorting out. So let's sort it out, right? Because there's people at the other end of today that need to know what we carry. See the lamp, life. Sometimes we're just the biggest hindrance, but we can change that. Is that okay? So just find 2, 4, 5, 6, half a dozen people. Look at them in the eye, because that's really important. Don't just pray for them. Don't pray for them. Encourage them. Speak well of them. Exhort them. Big them up in the things of God. But be honest and be truthful. On your mask, get set, go. These guys really started. You're brilliant, you people. If you're at home listening to this on the message, do that over your leader or over your family, over your household. If you're listening to this and you're in the car, just do it over the people on the road that you're going past. Bless you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.